Well, good morning and welcome to part five of our series, Fully Equipped. We're so honored to have you with us today. We're going to have a great time together for the next few moments. I invite you to stay with me till the end of this message. It's going to be so great. Hey, I want to pause right here and say how much we love you, how much we're praying for you, and how much we greatly miss you. And we are hopeful that we can be back together again in a couple of weeks. We're shooting for September the 13th. So I ask you to please pray that everything will go in a very positive direction so that we'll be able to open up, and we'll be keeping you updated on that. I want to jump right into this series today as we open this up and looking in Ephesians chapter 6, where we take the Apostle Paul's instructions to the church of Ephesus as a basis for this series, as we break out seven areas of our life that are vital to our spiritual survival, our spiritual development and growth, and to our purpose on this earth. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, Paul says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark age and this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God." And then Paul begins to give a list, very illustrative list, of how we are to put on the armor of God. And the goal of this series is for us to become fully equipped so that we can be, as Paul just described, strong in the Lord. That is, in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our life is hid in him. And then secondly, that we can be strong in the Lord's mighty power. Let me encourage you today that you are operating, you are living, you are working in the power of Jesus Christ, not in your own strength, but in his power. And then thirdly, so that we can be strong in our stand against the enemy. The fact is, we do have an enemy, and it's not our wife or our husband. It's not our children or our parents. It's not our brothers or our sisters. It's not a political party, but there is a spiritual enemy at work against the human race. And we are in a spiritual battle. But the Bible encourages us in 2 Corinthians, where we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so Jesus has provided for us everything that we need. And I want to look at this list that Paul gives us of what God has provided for us. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, pick it up with verse 13, where he says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth." We talked about that in week one, that belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about that week two, that righteous breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And then in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which with you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then he goes on to say, take the helmet of salvation. So again, in week one, we talked about truth. Week two, we talked about righteousness. Week three, we talked about peace. And week four, last week, we talked about faith. And I love how one version says, it says, "Above all, take the shield of faith," how important that is. But it also groups that with today's message. And he goes on to say, take the helmet of salvation in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Listen, like a helmet covering our head. He talks about salvation and he associates it with the head. Like a helmet covering our head, our salvation protects us from being dealt a death blow. And those who are in Christ cannot ultimately be defeated by Satan. That's good news, everyone. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 says this, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul was stating in this context that we're going to be going through some stuff. There's some battles that we're going to have to fight. There's some things that we're going to have to endure and go through. But he says in verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So understand this. As Christians, this is important. We do not fight for victory. We fight from a position of victory. Jesus has already won the victory for us. The reason for this is that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ won the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And I want us to break this down as we study this together. Again, he says, take the helmet of salvation. I want to look at that word salvation. In Wikipedia, it says that it's the state of being saved or protected from harm or a dire situation. In religion and theology, Wikipedia says salvation generally refers to the deliverance of the soul from sin and its consequences. In the Hebrew, the word is yasa, which means to save, help in distress, rescue, deliver, set free. In the Greek, the word is soteria, which means may include material preservation, but it usually signifies a deliverance with special spiritual significance. Now look at this. Salvation is the overriding theme of the entire Bible. The Old Testament gives us lessons that teaches us that there's none but God that can save. In Exodus chapter 14 and 13, when Moses was being used by God to deliver his people out of bondage, the bondage of Egypt, and setting the Israelites free, and they were trapped, it seemed to be, between the Pharaoh's armies coming to destroy them and the Red Sea, Moses said this to the people. He said, do not be afraid. I want to say to somebody, do not be afraid. And his words were this, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish today. Notice, it's the salvation of the Lord. Salvation comes from God alone. It comes from him. And notice it says, which he will accomplish for you today. Notice the word accomplish. Salvation is something that only God can accomplish. Now watch this. Jesus said in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ, look at that. Think of that word accomplish. He went to the cross and he accomplished everything for us. He hung on the cross. His word was that he yelled out to God at the very end of the crucifixion was tetelestai, which means it is finished. In other words, it is accomplished. God's plan of salvation and redemption was accomplished. So I want us to have that as a foundation, but I want us to back up and understand a little bit more about salvation. In Christian circles, we hear a lot about people being saved. And for some people, you say, well, saved from what? Well, I want to kind of describe this word salvation to you this way. Salvation is described as the mystery of God that is now revealed, a plan conceived before the foundations of the world, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, a transition from death to life, a message for sinners, which we are all sinners, a gift of grace through faith, not of works, that for which the whole creation groans, the revelation of God's righteousness to faith and for faith, the justification that comes through faith, reconciliation and redemption. In Jesus' response to Nicodemus, salvation is declared to be a spiritual birth, birth from above, without which one cannot enter the kingdom. Salvation means death to and freedom from sin. It's a new perspective that transcends the human point of view and participation in a new creation. It's peace with God. It's life as adopted as children of God. It's being adopted by him. It's baptism into Christ's death and reception of the Holy Spirit, to which you may be saying, that's an awful lot of religious language. So let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back way back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden. In the beginning, God created the earth, and he created man, and he created woman, Adam and Eve, and they were in relationship with him, and they walked in the cool of the day, the Bible describes, in conversation with God at the beginning of the day. They had relationship, they had fellowship with God, and had everything provided for them that they needed there in the garden, and they had the tree of good and evil that they were told not to eat of, and they had the tree of life, and they had all the trees that they could partake of, but the tempter came in the form of a serpent, the devil, and sowed a lie. And he sowed a lie. I want you to notice where he sowed the lie. He sowed the lie in the mind of Eve, and then Eve communicated it to Adam and to the mind of Adam, and they bought into a lie. I want you to notice, again, remind you that Paul calls this the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, helmet protects the mind. Notice the enemy messed with their minds. I want us to see the connection here. The helmet of salvation, salvation associated with the head or with the mind. Listen, Adam and Eve bought into a lie, and they lost their relationship with God. And that's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. It separates us from that relationship we have with God. And so that sin nature has been passed on through the generations and through time to you and I today. And so I want you to write this down. First of all, we need to understand this most importantly, and that is we are in a lost condition. I want you to write this down, lost condition of humanity. Humanity is in a lost condition. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And notice when God came to Adam, and Adam, listen to this, was hiding himself with fig leaves. Because he realized that he was naked and he was afraid, the Bible says, and he went and hid himself from God. Now, you know he had some brain damage going on, because if he knew who God was, he knew that he couldn't hide from God. And yet somehow, and his mind was so blurred, so clouded, that he thought, well, he could hide from God. And that tells you something happened to the mind of man. And God's question to Adam was, in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 3, where are you? Where are you? Notice this, under the lost condition of humanity, and that is that we've lost our way. Adam had lost his way. And secondly, I want us to see that he had lost his mind. He had lost his mind. Adam and Eve went and hid themselves. He had a mind. Now, I don't know what you think about the beginning of mankind, but understand this. Adam was smart enough to name all the animals. God brought the animals to him to see what Adam would call them. So it wasn't for a lack of intelligence, but somehow, spiritually speaking, his mind was affected. And he's lost his mind. And then he asks this second question in verse 11. He says, who told you? Because he said, I was naked. He said, who told you were naked? So there was a where are you question. And then there was a who question. Who told you? Who are you listening to? Listen, this is crucial, because Adam was listening to the wrong source. Instead of listening to God, he listened to a lie. Instead of listening to the truth, he listened to a lie. And he said, who told you this? So who we listen to, listen everybody, who we listen to is very, very crucial. What you allow in your mind is very, very crucial. Heard a story this week of a lady who had been incarcerated in prison, and she said she was incarcerated, her body was incarcerated and was in prison, but not her mind, because God had freed her mind. I just think that's a great testimony. Listen, God can free our mind, but oftentimes our mind is taken into captivity. It has been described this way. It's the battlefield of the mind, the mind. It's where the enemy attacks. The enemy attacks our mind. And we listen closely now. Hear what I'm saying. We need to be careful that we don't have just a world mindset. What we need is a heaven mindset. Because the enemy is a deceiver. And he is running rampant today. And the Bible says that in the last days that even the very elect shall be deceived, if at all possible. We need to guard our mind. We need to protect our mind with the helmet of salvation. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Colossians 3 and 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it tells us that we can actually have the mind of Christ, and we can't do that in and of ourselves. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Actually, 2 Corinthians 2 and 16 says, we have the mind of Christ. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, and I think this is so important for us to hear today, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And finally, Ephesians chapter 4 and 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you see, salvation comes to people who have lost their mind, and we've lost our way, and we've lost our direction, and we've lost where we are in this world. And here's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes and reveals to us truth. That's God's mercy. And it opens our minds so that the scales of our eyes drop and we can see again, and we can understand. We say, oh my, there's a God who loves me. There's a God who wants to have a relationship with me. And there's a revelation of truth, and it gives us the opportunity then to receive him. And then we see the next thing under this lost condition is that we've lost our relationship. We've lost a relationship. And that's why God draws us by the Holy Spirit to understand who Jesus Christ is, that he has come, and that he is our helper. He is our helper. I want us to see this morning, the lost condition of humanity. But I want us to see also this. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. 1 John 4 and 14 says, and when we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Jesus Christ has come to be our Savior. We cannot save ourselves. Jesus comes to be our Savior. Because listen, we know that all we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus Christ has become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. He's become our Savior. He comes to save us from that lost condition. He comes on a rescue mission. Again, Jesus comes and saves us. Write that point down. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Luke 19 and 10, I want to read that again. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Without him, we are lost. Without him, we cannot make it. Without him, we've lost our way. Without him, we've lost our, we have lost our mind. But most importantly, we've lost our relationship with a loving God. And he's a father that's on a rescue mission to reach out and to rescue his lost children and bring them back into relationship with him. Can I tell you, that's what God wants to do for every one of us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Some of you may have heard a lot about Christianity and think it's all about religion and about rules. Can I tell you, it's not about religion and it's not about the rules. It's about a relationship. All that other stuff will follow when you fall in love with Jesus. Can I tell you this? God's in love with you. He loves you. And he's speaking to you today. I don't believe it's an accident that you're listening right now. God has come on a rescue mission to you. And he wants you to have life. He wants you to have peace. And he wants you to have a relationship with him and have an eternal home in heaven. And that's available for you today. And I'd love to lead you in a prayer. Listen, you're one heartfelt prayer away from that happening in your life. You having that relationship with God that gives you the peace, that brings life, that gives you new life. Can I pray with you? If that's you and you say, that's me, I need to pray that prayer. I need that relationship with God. I need him to come. Give me peace of mind. Restore my soul and heal my life and give me life and life to the fullest. That's available. If you'd like to pray this prayer with me, I invite you right now. Just come on, let's pray this together. Let me just help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. Let's pray together. Say this. Say, Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus, for giving me a Savior, for coming to rescue me. Today I confess my need of you. I confess my lost condition, but I confess you now as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, for giving your life for me, for paying my debt so that I could experience life. Today I give you my life and I invite you to come on the inside and make me brand new. Give me peace of mind. And Lord, heal my soul and help me now to have a right relationship with you. I accept you now as my Savior and my Lord. And with all of my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.